is the day which the Lord has made. We will.
Whew! That was powerful. You guys almost overpowered that group right there, but I love it. Thank you so much. This is the day which the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it if we know what's best for us. All right. Well, we haven't talked about it in a while, but we had a little goal, a little thing kind of at the beginning of the year. And that's come alive in 25. Anybody remember that? And I thought, well, if you like a variation, thrive in 25. And I think they go hand in hand. I think if you come alive in 25, you will definitely thrive in 25. And I love that. It's hard to come alive if you're just sitting on the sidelines, though. It's hard to come alive if you're just sitting there. So in John chapter 4, we're going to start in the middle of a story in verse 19. And in the middle of that story, Jesus meets a young woman at the well. And in verse 19, it says, the woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship." I thought, man, in the middle of the story, he's talking to her. He's explaining to her things that he should not know about her, that were revealed to him. So she perceives he's a prophet. And goes on to say, My fathers have worshipped on this mountain. Now, maybe some of you, your fathers, your mothers, your parents, your grandparents, they may have worshipped in places before. Some of you come from backgrounds where your parents or grandparents didn't worship. As we go through this semi-familiar text, and I've used it in preaching before, I want to look at it a little differently. And what is it? Man, my parents worshipped. That's great. But your experience today is not about your parents. And it's not about your grandparents. This is about your experience today. Now, verse 21, it goes on and it says, Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem," where you've heard others preach, "will worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. But the hour is coming." Sorry, "you worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews." Verse 23, "But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When He comes, He will teach us all things." Jesus said to her, can you imagine being that woman and Jesus responding to you? I who speak to you am He. She has come face to face with the Messiah, who is called Christ. The one that she says, when He comes, He will teach us all things. Woman, I am He. I am He. Sorry, I thought someone was behind me. It was that big gorilla. Startled me for a second. Whew. I am He. When we come to worship, and worship means so many different things. When we say, hey, I'm coming to worship Him, A lot of times we're singing, I'm coming to sing songs to Him. But there's so many aspects to worship. Prayer is a part of worship. Fellowship is a part of worship. Serving is a part of worship. Singing praises of thanksgiving to Him is a part of worship. But when we come to worship, Him is from the heart. It is hard to worship Him. Those that have hardened hearts, those whose hearts have been turned to stone. We may have exposed and opened up most of our heart to Him. Lord, I'm saving a little sliver down here for just me, though. When we worship Him, it is from the heart. Prayer, communication to and from Him. It's not always us just going down, God, please, I have this need. I've been praying over this VBS. Jan passed out sheets for prayer for VBS and things to pray about. And you may have noticed a little earlier or now, I'm a little excited today. But I'm not just excited about VBS. I'm excited about worshiping the one and true God. And it's so great when we have that and that burning desire. By the way, speaking of prayer, if you would be in prayer, we're missing our part of our band. Kisha's out of town. Pray for her that she continues to relax in Florida. That's a toughie. But David and Christian aren't feeling well today also, so if you would be in prayer for them as well. But that's why we looked a little different today. And then our drummer was missing in action, so you thought, but he was behind the volcano there. So Tim was here. He was just back there. So we worship and we come with expectation, but we come and worship from the heart and with an open heart. But it's hard to do that if our mind is closed. We're not open to that. Now, verse 27, and I jumped in the middle of this for a reason, because I wanted to talk about her talking about worship to Jesus. He said, hey, she said, it's going to look like this. And it did look like this for my parents. Now, this may look different than how your parents and or grandparents worshiped. The experience needs to be yours. And you may need to worship in your way and worship the one true God in a different place. But then we get into verse 27. And the disciples are there. And the disciples, it says, at this point, His disciples came and they marveled that He talked with a woman. Yet no one said, what do you seek? Or why are you talking to her? Jesus, why are you talking to that woman? Nobody said that. The woman left her water pot. She went on her way into the city. And she said to the men of the city, come see a man who told me all things that I ever did. And then she asked, could this be the Christ? Remember, He just said, I who speak to you am He, the Messiah who is called Christ. She said, could this be the Christ that spoke to me at the well? They went out of the city and they came to Him. And in the meantime, His disciples urged Him, saying, Rabbi, eat. But He said to them, I have food to eat of which you do not know. Things are feeding Him that don't look like food, that they don't understand. Therefore, the disciples said to one another, has anyone brought Him food? Did you guys bring Him food? Did you bring Him food? Who brought Him food? Has anyone brought Him anything to eat? Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Now listen carefully. Verse 35. Do not say, church, we really got to listen. Do not say, there are still 4 months, and then comes the harvest. Let me just stop there for a minute. Things are only going to happen and change on Sunday morning in service. They might change on a Wednesday evening. Well, they're only going to change at a conference or a revival or a meeting. Do not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest. Oh man, it's that anticipation. It's that expectation. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. Church, lift up your eyes and look around. The field is white for harvest. We don't have to say these things are only going to happen on Sundays or Wednesdays or at Falls Creek or at these places and these events and these happenings. These changes can happen when we least expect it. I shared with somebody, you know, about having an opportunity to witness to people at work. And it's not like I come in contact with a great many of people, but I do come in contact with all the furniture that we sell, all those vendor reps. And I said, every chance I get to talk to those people, I have the opportunity to witness to them who and what I am. And don't you know it's funny? Because they're always talking about women and this and that, drinking and carrying on. But then they hear that, and yes, I'm involved at my church. Well, that was hard to tell based on those conversations. But don't you know when I see them almost every time when they first see me at our next meeting, it's, how's the church doing? Hey, what are you teaching on Wednesday nights? What's your sermon about? And lo and behold, those people start telling me about what they're doing at their church. It's changing the way we talk to one another and what we talk about. When Eric and I were at our conference up in Kansas, the bishop said, I had these friends in high school. And she said, if they were Christians, I never knew it. Nobody I knew was a Christian in high school, she said. And I thought about it. Well, my dad was a preacher, and I never once remember inviting anybody to church. Now, as I got into my teenage years, my dad wasn't preaching, and then he got weekend jobs preaching, but it was an hour and a half away up in the mountains in New Mexico. Tiny little churches. And there's more people in this section right here than were in my dad's church when we first went. And I thought, I never invited anybody to church. Now my friends knew my dad was a preacher. But I never talked about it. And I wasn't experiencing it in the way I am today. Yes, on there. Yep. You worship what you do not know. Okay. Hey, my parents worshiped. And I thought my dad was a Presbyterian preacher, preached in a big black robe. I thought I'm riding into heaven on the tail of his robe that he preached in. Because I didn't understand how it worked. And then one day, somebody said, "Hey, by the way, are you going to heaven?" "Yes." "How do you know?" My dad was a preacher. I think he got me a ticket for the whole family. Not sure, but I'm sure in his wallet he's got tickets for the whole family. He said it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. You see, you have to experience this change for your own. And I experienced that change for myself and accepted Christ and was baptized because I understood it's about me and my decision, not something that my parents did when they worshiped. Look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. You see, the field is always white. There's other scriptures that say, hey, the harvest is ready, but there's not enough workers to do it. Well, amen to that, too. But it goes on in verse 36, and it says, "And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both," carefully, "that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice together and be glad in it." You see, you planted. I reap. We get to rejoice together at the harvest. He who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labors. God is telling us, don't tell me in 4 months we're having a revival. That's when lives are going to be changed. Can we get some changed lives before then? Man. Can we get some hearts to be healed, some hearts to be mended, and some souls who've been hurt or damaged? Can we get them to be okay? Oh, by the way, can we go find our friends and our neighbors, and can we love on them? Can we share the light of Christ with them? But then not be upset if they choose not to take that light right then and there. Or maybe they take it. We took them this big bushel of wood and they've got this opportunity for the fire. We go in there like, oh my gosh, you're down to one coal left. Could we have visited sooner maybe and helped them stock the fire? Not to go in there and say, what are you doing? You're letting the fire die. But can we go in there and say, do you mind if I put some wood on the fire? You know, so many times we go in there with this attitude of pointing down or talking down to those people. God's Word tells us, remember when you walked in darkness? Do you remember those times? So be careful how you talk to them. The lost don't need to be beat up. They need to be loved. They need to have the light shared with them. And maybe not just once, but twice. Maybe not twice, maybe 3-4 times. He says, don't give up on these people. Don't give up on them. Now, I like to go backwards every now and then. So at the beginning of verse 4, Josh, I didn't give you these scriptures. verse 5 in chapter 4. So he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. And it was about the sixth hour. Now pay attention for a minute. He was weary. He sat by the well. But you know, a while later, they were saying, Jesus, you need to eat. He said, I'm okay. It doesn't mean he wasn't weary from his journey. But he says, I'm okay. I have food that you don't understand. Verse 7, and a woman from Samaria came to draw water. And Jesus said to her, give me a drink. Where's his disciples? Well, they went into the city to get food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Church, we still have that problem today. We don't have any dealings with these. We don't mess with those. For the found have no dealings with the lost. For those in light have no dealings with those in dark. Now, listen carefully. I know the Bible says, do not be with those people that are in darkness. But he tells us to take light to those people in darkness. We have to be very careful when we're going down that path. I just want to share the light with you. But I've got to be protective of that light. I don't want to walk in there to someone that's in darkness, have them lean over and go, cool, I got a new friend in my darkness with me. And don't think for a second it doesn't happen, church. It happens all the time that people that were believers, that were in light, are now walking in darkness. For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. And Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. You see, Jesus now is breaking down those walls. Ooh, Jesus, I got a big wall between me and my neighbor. Break it down. Oh, you can leave the fence up there, but walk around and talk to them. Heal that relationship. Church, if we offer these things and it's rejected, it's not on us anymore. It's like the watchman in the Old Testament. Man, if we tell people and warn them and they don't receive it, their blood is not on our hands anymore. But he does call us to be different. He does call us to love our neighbors. So now Jesus is talking to this woman at the well. He tells her about the living water that she can have. But in the end, she goes into town and tells people, could this be the Christ? You see, this guy knew things about me that I didn't tell him, and he has no way of knowing. Could he be the Christ? Now, verse 39, skip back over to verse 39. It says, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified. And she said, he told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with them. They urged Jesus to stay there. And he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word, because of Jesus' word that he spoke to them about. Now listen to this. Then they said to the woman, now we believe. Now we believe. Not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Now, I'm not proud of this, church, but I told our Wednesday night Bible study group a couple weeks ago. Eric preached a sermon, and he was talking about the eagles and how fast they fly. And I found myself fascinated by that fact. And so guess what I did? How fast can eagles fly? I was fascinated. And I said, it wasn't that I didn't believe them. I just thought, really? I'd never heard that. And then he talked about the size of their nest. How big is an eagle's nest? And I said, I was distracted by those facts. So now I'm like, I got to put my phone down. They're in service. But I was fascinated by that. And that thing was huge. 6 to 8 feet across. And we find ourselves distracted by these different things. And I thought, that's part of his message. And I thought, fascinating. Yeah, now it's not the bald eagle. You'd think it'd have less resistance, you know. And it wasn't the bald eagle, but it said the golden eagle flies up to 200 miles per hour. Unbelievable. So then in my mind, then I started picturing, now what does that look like? An eagle busting through the air 200 miles an hour. And I thought, it's crazy. I thought, I got to get back into the message. I'm sorry. Forgive me, Erica. Forgive me, God. But when I looked at it, I said, oh, that's true. I confirmed it. Again, not that I didn't believe Eric, but it's the same thing here. These people say, now we believe, not because of what you said, but because we've heard it from him. And we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Our faith, our journey, our walk, our transition, our recovery and recuperation are ours. You were healed much quicker. You took much longer. You got over that much quicker. You took longer. Whatever it is ours. When my father passed away, my mother said, a lady at her work told her, you don't let anyone tell you how soon you need to get over that and get through it. And I thought, thank God. And then I go over and my older brother had taken pictures of my dad. And, hey, Mom, quit putting this stuff all around the house. She said, why? I've got pictures of you kids. You've moved out. I've got pictures of y'all. Don't let anyone tell you. You should be through this by now. Now, line it up with the word and say, should I be getting over something? Not a loss, but other things. It may be. But we have to experience those things for ourselves. We have to experience the worship for ourselves. It's our worship. And we will worship him in spirit and in truth. And by the way, he's looking for us to do that. But can you imagine? The church, the Messiah is coming. But could you imagine someone saying, or you saying that to somebody and them going, hey, by the way, I who speak to you am he. And she went away, marveled. She left her water pot there. She went there to draw water and she left it there. It was no longer important to her. She went into town to tell the men. And they said, hey, I think, I'm not sure, but I think this is the Christ. And they came. And the disciples tried to offer him food. I have a different kind of food that feeds me, he said. And then they came and said, would you stay with us a few days? And many believed. Not because of what she said, but because they heard it from him and they experienced it themselves. The hardest time to worship for me, or the hardest thing to do, is worship while we wait. God, I've been waiting for you to move my life. God, many years. God, I've got all these people following. Could you please tell me which way to go? I feel like I've been going in circles for 40 years. Yes, God, I'll worship you. Thank you, Moses. I appreciate that. The hardest thing to do is worship while you wait. Church, while you wait for Him, will you continue to worship Him? While you wait for Him to move, and while He's waiting for you to move sometimes also, you just may not be aware of it yet, will you continue to worship Him? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word today. God, we thank you for the lesson in here. We thank you, God, for the words that tell us, don't wait for someone to tell you, change will happen here. Change will happen when this happens. Change will happen at this time. God, I thank you for saying, look around, disciples. The field is already white for harvest. And yes, you get to reap that which you did not sow. You get to be a partaker of that and rejoice with others. God, I pray today as we prepare for vacation Bible school to begin. God, that we come with anticipation. God, that we come with an expectation and an imagination of what you will do in this place over the next 4 days. God, how we can be transformed by what we do here. God, that children can be transformed by what happens here. But God, can we look to the future of what those changed lives can do 20, 30, 40, 50 years from now? Can we look to our own experiences if we've had them as a child? Vacation Bible school. God, I pray today that if the fire inside of us has died, has diminished, has lessened, God, that you can restore that fire. You can ignite that fire back inside of us. God, that our soul burns for you. God, that we worship you through prayer, through communication to and from you. We worship you through praise. God, we worship you through serving others, not serving ourselves. God, I pray today that you set a fire down inside of us that burns, that as we gather together and fellowship with one another, we continue to fan the flames of those next to us. And that in itself helps fan our flames. God, I pray that we are transformed.